Like it or not, there's no one you can blame for your sin except for yourself. Here's Skip Heitzig to explain.
I think when it comes to evil, we would like to rent a sinner. Rent a demon. Well, the devil made me do it. The devil came into my mind. Now, you don't need the devil. You've got a fallen nature. The Bible repeatedly, over and over again, says we are estranged from God by birth. And that's why we need salvation. I'm not saying evil spirits aren't bad. They are bad. They are evil. They're powerful. But we sin because it is human nature.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Whenever you open the newspaper, or watch the news on TV, or read the news on the web, what do you see? Generally, you see reports of murder and rape, betrayals and war, death and destruction. It's rare to see any good news, but someday that's what will make all the headlines. Why? Because there won't be any bad news to report. I know that's almost too difficult to imagine in the world we live in now, but as we're about to be reminded by Skip Heitzig today on The Connection, this world won't always be like it is now. We'll talk about how the world will change when Jesus returns here in just a moment. But first, we want to share with you a very timely resource from author Steve Russo about the dangers of the occult. It's available this month from The Connection.
The American culture is undergoing some very disturbing shifts in values. Listen to Steve Russo.
We've become so desensitized to violence and rudeness and wickedness, and it's all about what I can get for me. It's like we don't care. It's like there are no moral absolutes anymore.
How has the media's obsession with the occult contributed to this shift? In Steve Russo's book, Fear No Evil, learn how a fascination with movements like Wicca and overindulgence in all sorts of media is having a damaging effect on today's youth.
I've heard too many times kids and parents even telling me, well, you know, Twilight is about good vampires. He's a good vampire because he's a good-looking guy, and this is really a romance. Again, we have lost the concept of a holy God, a pure God, and we've totally, almost totally abandoned, in many cases, the significance of the blood of Christ.
Order Fear No Evil by Steve Russo for just $15 when you contact The Connection at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Our society, and especially our young people, are being misled by interest in the wrong kind of spiritualism. With Halloween right around the corner, it's time for the church to do something about it.
Halloween it's not going to go away. There are a couple different ways to approach it. One is completely ignore it and have nothing to do with it, and I think that's everybody has that the right to make that decision. I think it's foolish because it's a great opportunity to do evangelism, and that's the heart of the evangelist coming out in me.
Do you know someone fascinated with vampires? Vampires, Wicca, and so-called nice witches? Well, they need to read Fear No Evil by Steve Russo. Order today for just $15. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, that might be a great resource to share with a friend who could be struggling between the difference of good and evil. So find out more at our website and order it this month at connectionradio.org or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. 1888. So when the kingdom of God begins here on earth, evil will end. So what will there be left for the news to report? We'll talk about that today here on The Connection. So stay with us for today's study.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll once again be in Revelation chapter 20, so if you'll open your Bibles, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he continues this study in history's last chapter.
Another question that comes at this point is, well, if Satan is bound for 1,000 years, How could people sin? How could people have evil thoughts in their hearts if there's no devil, so that at the end of the 1,000 years would even join a rebellion? Don't you need the devil around to sin? No, you don't. Sin comes from the flesh. It comes from the flesh. Satan simply creates an environment that stimulates the flesh. If you remove the environment, you remove some of the stimulation, but there's still the rebellious heart. Although, we don't like to hear that. We like to say, but it's not my fault. I don't sin because I'm a sinner by nature. I sin because of my environment or because of what's around me, these other people. They certainly add to it, but sin lies in the heart of man. There's an article in a Southern California newspaper a few years ago called Rent a Jogger was the ad. Rent a Jogger. Here's the ad. Rent me for $1.95 and I will jog for you at least 1 mile a day, weather permitting, for the next year. That sounds hokey. A 45-year-old stockbroker put it in and promised a certificate if you sent him $1.95 that would read this, quote, your jogger is securing for you the benefits of a healthful glow, extraordinary stamina, an exciting muscle tone, and power-filled sense of total well-being. You know, within a few days that ad was placed, 322 people sent in $1.95, which more than covered for the expense of taking out the ad. I think when it comes to evil, we would like to rent a sinner. Rent a demon. Well, the devil made me do it. The devil came into my mind. Now, you don't need the devil. You've got a fallen nature. The Bible repeatedly, over and over again, says we are estranged from God by birth, and that's why we need salvation. I'm not saying evil spirits aren't bad. They are bad. They are evil. They're powerful. But we sin because it is human nature. You see, some people have said, well, good upbringing will always produce good offspring. Bad upbringing will produce bad offspring. If we just create the right environment, you'll have no problems. And that's what we've tried to do in the United States, just the right environments. The Minnesota Crime Commission released this as a partial reason for the rise in the crime rate. Quote, this is the Minnesota Crime Commission's look on it. Quote, every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it, his bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toy, his uncle's watch. Deny any of these and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. If permitted to continue in the self-centered world of his infancy, given free rein to his impulsive actions to satisfy his wants, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, a rapist. Why is there crime? Why is there murder? Why is there alcoholism and drug abuse and sexual immorality? It's because of the evil heart of man. And even a perfect environment, even 1,000 years of Christ ruling and walking among men, won't change the fallen nature unless that person decides, I want my sins forgiven, I want to follow Jesus Christ by volition. See, a psychologist blames the problems on a behavior disorder. Sociologist calls it a cultural lag. A minority group say the problem is racism. The sociologist or the socialist says that it's class struggle, the rich and the poor. The Bible says it's the sinful nature of man, and the only remedy is the new birth. That's why Jesus said to Mr. Religion himself, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. It's the sinful nature of man. That's why God stepped out of eternity into time 2,000 years ago to deal with sin. That's why he came. You can't have an effective cure without an accurate diagnosis. And Dr. Jesus assessed the problem and the sickness of humanity and provided the remedy. A relationship with him. Add to this human nature, verse 8. And you have a recipe for problems. It says he, Satan, will go out to deceive the nations. There will be, again, a massive deception that will appeal to the fallen human nature. He deceives the nations. He's made his career doing this, deceiving. How does he deceive now? He spreads lies, false religions, false cults, false ideologies, philosophies, false doctrine, false security among believers. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. I should say false security among unbelievers. There's a lot of unbelievers who think they're saved because they have a belief in a God, a higher power, and they're blinded, they're deceived. The God of this world has deceived them. John said this in his last chapter of 1 John, we know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The word lie means to lie like a boat stranded, lying on a sandbar, it's stuck. Or an animal lying in a bog, a swamp, it can't move, it's stuck. We know the whole world lies stuck under the sway of the evil one. Satan has duped the world in history. He will dupe the world in the tribulation period. And afterwards, he will deceive those who give themselves over to it. Notice in verse 8, it says that Satan gathers Gog and Magog to gather them together for battle. Well, what's that all about? Well, we don't have enough time to read all of Ezekiel 38 and 39 and discuss the similarities and the differences. I'm going to let you do that on your own. Let me sum it up. Gog is typically seen as a ruler. Magog is the ancient grandson of Noah who settled in the regions north of the Black Sea, the area of Russia. And there is a battle that will come about in the future, as we look to the future. The battle of certain forces that would come down upon Israel and Jerusalem. The battle of Gog and Magog. Now, some people say that chapter 20 Gog and Magog is the same as Ezekiel 38 and 39 Magog. Others say it's different. And people debate ad infinitum, ad nauseum over this issue. I'm not going to get into that. There's going to be some kind of rebellion. It could be Ezekiel 38 and 39 after this point. It's the only other reference to it in the Bible. Or it could be a title. Just like we would talk about today, somebody's Waterloo. Not referring to the ancient historical battle of Waterloo, but simply as a disastrous battle that they're on the verge of. It's a title. It's a summation of it. So without getting bogged down into that, let me just sort of sum this up practically by saying a couple of things. Don't underestimate the devil. He will not change. He is unrelenting. He is a skillful enemy. He has spent thousands of years studying human beings. He knows just how to attack. At the same time, don't overestimate the power of the devil, as so many Christians still do. The devil made me do it. The devil did this. The devil's under a bush. The devil's behind the door. Bind the devil. And they're always worried about the devil instead of concentrating on Jesus Christ. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hey, listen, Satan on his best day can't match Christ. So when Satan bugs you, have Jesus answer the door. Be clothed in his righteousness, in prayer, in the word. Hide behind him. Know this, that Satan has limited powers. We see here, right? God's in charge. He puts him in prison, he releases him, and he ends his career. It's all under the sovereign control of God. So Satan has limited powers and operates only by allowance, by permission. Satan had to get God's permission, and only up to a certain point when it came to dealing with Job. Satan had to get Jesus' permission for the demons to go into the herd of swine in Galilee. One time Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. So, sovereign control. And then finally, fifthly, we have the recapture of Satan, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. But you don't hear those two words much in churches these days, do you? Fire and brimstone. Those have sort of been cut out of the Bible. Where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is the recapture of Satan. After his last fling, his last hurrah, his last stand, comes his doom. You might say comes his career change. The one who caused so much hassle, havoc, suffering, will be the one who receives hassle, havoc, suffering, pain. Now, Satan's judgment was assured at the cross, but it won't be till now that that judgment is finally meted out. The prophecy in Genesis that the seed of the woman, Christ, would crush the head of the serpent, the devil, finally and fully happens here as he is cast into the lake of fire. Now, let's just review this. Satan's penalty is delayed and comes in stages. In Revelation 12, he's cast out of heaven completely to the earth, so he has no access at all to the heavenly realms, he and all of his demon hordes. Then for 1,000 years, he's incarcerated into the abyss. Then he's finally released and he's cast into, it says here, the lake of fire and brimstone, which is a sulfur-like chemical fire symbolizing torment. He's there with his buddies, the Antichrist and the false prophet, verse 10, where the beast and the false prophet are. How long is he there? How long is hell? Is it temporary? Do you burn it off and then get out and you rehabilitate? It says here, and I'm not going to try to explain it away, it says day and night. That's continually, forever and ever. And some will say, are you sure hell is eternal? Well, let me put it this way. I'm sure that heaven is eternal. I'm sure that hell is eternal as much as I'm sure heaven is eternal, because the same language is applied to both spheres. Heaven is a place where we live forever and ever. God is the one who lives forever and ever. And if you say that hell is not eternal, then heaven is not eternal either. Neither is God. And then what are we doing here? Forever and ever. This is the final hell. This is the last place. And this is the end of Satan's career. By the way, hell was designed for the devil when he fell. It was not designed for people. People say, how could God send me to hell? God doesn't want to send you to hell. You'd send yourself to hell. God designed heaven to be inhabited by people. This is what Jesus Christ said. He referred to hell as, quote, everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But the decision is ours. God, who gave free choice in the beginning, will honor free choice. He would have to be equitable, to be loving. One person put it this way, hell is God's great complement to the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human choice. See, God is very pro-choice when it comes to salvation. He won't force you to go to heaven. You think God's going to say, if you live your life on earth, I don't want anything to do with God. You think God's going to force you to be in heaven with Him? You wanted nothing to do with God and then you're going to go to heaven? And I've heard this at funerals of unbelievers. Oh, he's passed away into eternal glory. He did? He hated God his whole life, wanted nothing to do with God, and God's going to force him to be with Him all of eternity? I don't think so. God will honor choice. So this is the devil's last stand and the devil's last destiny, and all those who follow him are then mentioned in verses 11 through 15. And next week we'll talk about the two resurrections and the two deaths that are spoken about here. But reading this, little wonder why the devil hates the book of Revelation so much and would hate messages like this being preached. Little wonder why the devil would keep the Bible away from people, why he would attack it so much and cause people to not read it, even Christians to put it down and not read it in their devotions and to judge all things by it. There was a Soviet official years ago when communism reigned in that part of the world, and he was asked why Bible study was frowned on and why anybody who distributed the Bibles or produced Bibles was punished severely. And he said, quote, we find that the reading of this book changes people in a way that's dangerous to our state. It's the same with the enemy, the devil, Satan. Devil has found that anybody who reads this book and believes in it, it's dangerous to his cause. It's dangerous to his state. In fact, he loves it if he can deceive a person enough to say, well, there really isn't even a devil. And hell is just here. This is heaven or hell. Oh, he's laughing all the way to the bank with that one. This event ends the career of the devil as we know it. And I want to say this. I don't think this brings joy to the heart of God. I think God's glad to see rebellion done, sin done. We all will. We'll rejoice. The universe will sigh, a sigh of relief. But remember, when God created the devil, the Bible says in Ezekiel 28, he was perfect in all of his ways. from the day he was created. Isaiah 14 calls him Lucifer, light-bearer, son of the morning, God's most beautiful creation, now ending in infamy like this. God's happy to get rid of the rebellion, but this must pain the heart of God. So yes, like the London Tavern, the world has gone to the devil. Jesus will come, hang up a sign under new management, and though there will be a final rebellion at the end of that, it will be forever quelled. There will be no more death after this, no more sorrow after this. Back to the classic argument of evil. Let's go way back to that first thing we mentioned at the beginning. The skeptic who would say, if God is all-powerful, he could destroy evil. If God was all good, he would destroy evil. Evil is not destroyed, thus there is no God. First of all, that's an arrogant assumption. You are assuming that because evil is not yet dealt with, that it never will be. And that's kind of arrogant to assume that, especially in the light of Revelation 20 when God says he will one day deal with it. Let me reframe the argument then. It becomes a validation for God. It goes like this. If God is all-powerful, he can defeat evil. If God is all-good, he will defeat evil. Evil is not yet defeated. Therefore, God can and one day will destroy and defeat evil. And that's when all the prayers will be answered. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In the Cincinnati Post years ago, on Christmas, the Christmas edition, the editors decided to hand out a newspaper a little bit different flavor. They decided to take all of the bad news that usually is on the front page, two pages, and put all good news on the front page, and put all the bad news at the end. And they said, the newspaper has to tell the good and the bad news, to be fair. But he goes, why is it always out of proportion? Why do we always put the bad news on the front? So he said, you know, it's Christmas. We'll put the bad news in the back, the good news in the front, and across the headlines of the newspaper just said, Merry Christmas. You read the newspaper, you go, man, what a great day. Look at this happening. This is awesome. And you get to the back page and you realize they just pulled the switcheroo. But imagine when one day all the newspapers in every city over all the earth will be righteous. Any would-be rebellion would be instantly quelled with a rod of iron, and even the ultimate rebellion at the end of the 1,000 years led by Satan will not even really be able to get off the ground much. They'll be zapped from heaven.
To only see good news in the news, that will certainly be a nice aspect of Christ's return. However, it will only be good news to you if you're following Christ. If you aren't, then you will follow in the devil's downfall. Don't let that happen to you, and don't let that happen to the people around you. Share Christ, and share the good news of the gospel. And if you'd like someone to share that with you right now, just call us at 1-800-922-1888. One way for you to share the good news of the gospel is by joining the Global Connectors. As a member, you'll be part of a team worldwide that's taking the good news to the farthest corners of the globe. Here's all the details.
For many, the Nation of Belize is an escape to paradise. The beaches of the Caribbean draw thousands of tourists every year. But it's the need for the people there to find true paradise that also draws missionaries to the Nation of Belize. Vivian and David Padilla recently went on just such a trip to Belize, and along with a team of 25 people, they found lonely, needy people, even on a beautiful island.
They have a hunger for the Word of God. We told them that there's a possibility of a church opening up down there, and they're so excited.
Lighthouse Christian Radio and the Ministry of the Connection are helping to meet that need by sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through biblical teaching and solid Christian music, they're reaching out to the people of Belize, both the tourists and the residents.
There's a lot of teenagers. They don't have any examples of what a Christian adult looks like. And so they're basically just going off of what they've seen the other adults do, but they don't have any examples. And one of the big things for us is to go down there and share the word, but to show them what does an adult Christian look like.
Help the Ministry of the Connection reach out with the truth of God's word to the people of Belize and to all the other nations around the world by joining the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month, and your support will support ministries like Lighthouse Christian Radio and The Connection. Share the good news of true paradise in God's kingdom. Join the Global Connectors today for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And along with Global Connectors, you'll also want to get in touch with us for a copy of today's teaching. It's available for just $6 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Or if you prefer to write us, we'd love to hear your stories about how God has used this ministry in your life or in the lives of people you know. So write us today at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
In our next study, we'll take a look at life, death, and the resurrection, so be sure to join us as we learn how each of these will play a part in the return of Christ. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.